Hi, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Tequila Bynum, and I have an awesome guest on today. He is the author of Through the Fire, and his name is Sean Grady. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks so much, Tequila. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started into book and author stuff?
Sure. At this point, I feel like I'm working two full-time jobs because my other day and night job is working as a fireman here with the city of Reno.
Wow.
And before that, I was working as a paramedic out here, too. But I'm married. We have three children. We love the outdoors. And so we've got a full packed schedule.
Absolutely. Wow. So how does a paramedic and a firefighter become an author?
That's a great question. They really are very different occupations. So
absolutely.
I must say that firefighting and paramedicine provide great fodder for a novel material. And
yeah.
I'd been doing emergency work for over a decade
now
and have had the opportunity and the honor to work with some great people and to really absorb and be part of just a mosaic of experiences in the emergency field, and it became sort of just a natural outpour to allow those to spill out onto the page.
Mm.
But since a young age, I've always wanted to be a writer, and I knew somehow intrinsically coming out of high school that I didn't quite have the life experience yet I needed in order to fill up a novel. And so right now is a great time in my life to be able to be doing what I'm doing, and for the last 5 years really have been pursuing that dream of publication and honing my craft, and was finally last year offered a 3-book deal with Bethany House Publishers, which came to fruition with my debut novel, Through the Fire.
Wow. That is awesome. Now, for those of us who haven't read it, why don't you tell us just a little bit about the book?
Sure. It's essentially about a Reno fireman with a gift for sensing the fire who's driven to solve the mystery of his father's death. There's a serial arsonist running around Reno. There's a dollop of romance with one of the acting fire investigators. And then there's a inward, internal struggle that the main character is wrestling with and needs to overcome. So there's multiple facets throughout the book and plenty of action, I believe, to tie it together.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's awesome. Now, how did you come up with, as your first novel of all things to write about, what made you pick writing about this?
Sure. You know, since a young age, I felt compelled to write, and I decided to stick with the old adage, to write what you know. And so I stuck with the city that I work in, with the profession that I know. And I found that when I wrote in that vein, that my characters came alive, and that the scenes just seemed to have an electricity about them, and there was an excitement that I felt and that I perceived in people that were reading that the things that I brought out at that point. And so it felt like a natural transition for me, being a writer since a young age, to go ahead and start with that which I knew. And as I sort of alluded to before, some of these experiences and some of these experiences with life and death really seared themselves into my subconscious.
Mm.
And so there was a cathartic element to laying them out on the page. And though none of the scenes or fires or people are meant to be exact depictions of real events or persons, they do take on sort of a mosaic type shape or a composite of different experiences and things that I've encountered, mixed in with that which is just fabricated along with the storyline. And so, it was exciting and it's been a fun ride and adventure to bring it out onto the page.
Wow. Wow, now, as this being your first novel, what did you encounter that you didn't necessarily expect?
Sure. Yeah, Through the Fire was a great learning experience as well as a fun experience, but everything was new to me from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot about the editing process.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once I turned in my first draft, there was a substantive edit that took place, and I had two really great editors that primarily focused on this novel at Bethany House. And after the substantive edit, they had some good suggestions on things they felt like could be strengthened or things that could be less emphasized. And it went through a couple more rewrites where I sent that back to them, and the next phase went into a line editing phase where they looked more in detail, specifically one of my editors, my line editor, at paragraphs and sentence structure and, you know, how things are delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wonderful to work with. If she ever had suggestions or wanted to make modifications or changes, she really worked closely with me and said, hey, this is how I'm seeing this. What do you think about this sort of thing? And it was a great dialogue working together on that. And once that line edit was done, then I went to yet another editor, a copy editor, who made sure the legal things were in place, the periods, the semicolons, if there were any, you know, the dashes, all the T's were crossed and I's dotted, all of that, to make sure that that came out accurate the way it should be. And then once that was done, I received a thick stack of yellow paper with the book typeset as it would look on the page in the actual novel form.
Wow.
And those were called the galley proofs. And at that point, I went through page by page with a pencil and, you know, made any last changes I wanted to words or sentence structure. Then wrapped that all up and snail mailed that back to the publishing house. And that was actually one of the most stressful moments, was letting go of the stack of pages that I spent a couple weeks actually poring over to make sure that it was the way I wanted it. And realizing that there was no backup copy of it, that this was the sole, you know, copy of all this work. And,
wow.
And so to send that off without anything in backing up, I just gave it to the postman and sent it off with a prayer, you know, Lord, protect this child of creation.
Wow.
Everything else to that point, you know, could have been sent electronically, but that was the one thing physically where I probably felt what writers in the past have felt when they bound up their manuscripts and put them into the mail. So.
Wow. Now tell us a little bit about your inspiration, how you were inspired, or what kind of writing exercises or quotes, you know, or what kind of regime did you get into to write this book?
Sure. You know, one thing that I think really opened the door for me to start writing novels was a book I read by Ernest Hemingway called A Movable Feast. And in it, he describes his early days in Paris as one of the expatriates and describes, you know, how he could hardly fathom writing something as long as a novel, but that he disciplined himself to each day to sit down and to at least try and write one simple, true sentence. And I realized that unlike being raised through English classes with the mindset of, you know, having to have a detailed plot outline and a stack of 3x5 cards and word bubbles connecting to a central theme, and things mm-hmm. like that, which are all good. And,
mm-hmm.
man, I love all my English teachers all throughout school. They've been great. But I realized with such a freeing epiphany that in order to be a writer, I just needed to write. And so mm-hmm. That was about 9 years ago in a coffee house on a date with my wife. And she had a pen, and we had a napkin, and I just started scribbling on it. And that was the beginnings of my first book.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that was dear to my heart. And some of the earlier or the fiction that I was reading at that time was written by a lot of writers who were very stream of thought sort of writers. And so that inspired me, the fact that I could just start writing, start laying things down on the page. Ray Bradbury wrote a book called Zen and the Art of Writing. And his advice is to write your first draft as fast as possible, to get it out there and to not be worried or too stressed, but just get what's in your heart out on the page. And he said, it's the other six or seven rewrites that'll take forever. But and there's some real value and strength to that. And so with working two different jobs, and especially when I've been, you know, running calls at the firehouse, you know, after midnight, and I come home and I'm tired, I'll be able to touch base with my family and meet with my wife and take the kids to school. And it does make for some bleary-eyed afternoons mm-hmm. in the coffee house mm-hmm. with my laptop. But we've disciplined ourselves to try to hold to a certain word count per week. And we make it a point to have a Sabbath each week where we focus on our family and on our marriage and just fellowshipping with others. And we don't worry about anything associated with writing or otherwise work. And that's really healthy. And so we found that balance between discipline and inspiration. And so definitely with a book contract and having books that need to be in by a certain time, we have to be regimented, and but it's freeing to not feel like it all has to be completely perfect the moment it touches the page. Mm-hmm. Breaking that white space on the screen, I think, is one of the harder parts of writing novels.
Yeah. Wow. And what advice would you give to other aspiring authors?
Sure. You know, with Through the Fire, it was exciting to have the support of other writers that I had already networked with at a writing conference that I had attended for several years, Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference. Mm-hmm. I've gone, I think, now 5 years.
Wow.
This will be my sixth year next spring, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was when I really started aggressively writing novels and pursuing publication, which was about 5 years ago, where I really was looking at it, you know, purposefully and consistently writing. I attended Mount Hermon Writers Conference, and I was able to really network with a lot of editors, agents, and other established writers. I was able to be part of critique groups and really hone and bring my craft to higher levels. And it's an ongoing thing. It's a process of continuing education that I always want to grow in. So one bit of advice that I would put out there is for someone who's at the pre-published phase but aspires to write novels or nonfiction, a writing conference, a well-established one, and particularly if you're writing Christian fiction, a Christian writing conference is a great way to get plugged in and to really hone your craft and to network with individuals that are in the industry.
Mm.
The other thing I would recommend is to read. And I try to make it a point to just consistently be picking up books by excellent writers. And when I read them, it sharpens me like iron sharpens another. And so
Wow. Those
two things are real big. And to not give up, to really believe in the gifting that God's given you and to continue to develop that skill and to hone that craft. So it's easy sometimes, I think, for writers to become an island and to just be them and their keyboard. And so networking with a local writers group or a critique group with like-minded people who are solid in their craft is always a positive thing, too.
Wow, that is awesome.
And, you know, I really love talking and interacting with other writers, and I'm always happy to give feedback or to look at a first chapter if somebody has something. And
oh, wow.
People can always contact me through my website, SeanGradyBooks.com,
mm-hmm.
or just by email, Sean@SeanGradyBooks.com. And I make it a point to get back to each email from readers or other writers that make it a point to drop me a line.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That is awesome. When you have a willing heart to help other people to reach their goals in life. I think that's awesome when authors, you know, take it upon themselves to help out in whatever way they can. I think that is really, really awesome. So you mentioned that you had a 3-book deal, so what's next for you?
Right. Yeah, in fact, I just finished my word count goal this morning. And I'm almost at the end of the first draft for my next novel, which is due out next summer, 2010. It's called Tomorrow We Die, and it's about a Reno paramedic who feels like he's chasing the angel of death.
Wow.
So there should be a link up at SeanGradyBooks.com soon to that book and to a pre-order link on Amazon. But that's also coming out through Bethany House and will be available at any bookstore. There is actually an image of the first cover proof if readers are, or listeners are interested in seeing what the new cover is going to look closely like. And it is under the media page on SeanGradyBooks.com. And if you scroll down to under the miscellaneous link for photos, you can find the cover image for Tomorrow We Die.
Wow. Now tell us, you've given us your website information and how our listeners can contact you. Will you tell us how we can obtain a copy of your book?
Absolutely. Yeah, Through the Fire is available online or through any local bookstore. You can request it through your library. It's in Barnes & Noble. It can be obtained through any of those physical bookstores or through Christian bookstore as well. And so really there's lots of options, at least in North America and Canada. And beyond, you can always find it online too, Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, and the like. And if you're still not sure, you can access the link through my website, too. So there's plenty of ways to get there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sean. This has been a wonderful interview, and I hope that when your next book comes out, Tomorrow We Die, that you will come back on the show so we can talk about it.
That would be fantastic, Tequila. I really appreciate you having me on Books a Latte, and I really... I like the design of your website, and I really am appreciative of the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you so much, Sean. You have a good day.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.